Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
What an awe-inspiring occasion it must have been for Peter, James, and John to witness the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. According to the gospel records, Moses and Elijah appeared on the mount speaking with Jesus about his approaching death. Jesus was transfigured or transformed right before their eyes. They saw his face shine like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Matthew 17:2. While Jesus was speaking with Moses and Elijah, a bright cloud overshadowed Moses and Elijah and left Jesus standing alone. Then a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Matthew 17:5. Peter, James, and John not only saw the events which transpired on the mount, they also heard the voice of God, acknowledging Jesus as a well-pleasing Son. Modernistic theologians use their imagination and bias to condemn the language I have read to you. They accuse the apostles and later generations of Christians of inventing these spectacular events. But the major reasons modernists and other unbelievers reject the transfiguration, the resurrection, and other miracles is their anti-supernaturalistic biases. They have decided that we live in a closed system, and miracles simply are not possible. They cannot give any scientific or philosophical or theological justification for their arguments against the Bible. They're just unwilling to accept the possibility of miracles. That, incidentally, is not a very honest approach to any topic. The Apostle Peter says very plainly, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." 2 Peter 1:18. The voice from heaven, as I have already indicated, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The verb "we heard" describes a definite experience which Peter, James, and John had. It was not an imaginary voice. If it were, why did all three of them hear it at the same time? Besides, if the voice were only in their minds, why would they be willing to tell that story at the risk of being imprisoned or killed? The kind of evidence Peter offered for having been present at the Transfiguration is called empirical evidence, because it involves some of the five senses. Peter insisted that he, James, and John were eyewitnesses. 2 Peter 1:16. In the verse I am examining with you today, he calls himself and his companions ear witnesses. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard." The Apostle John offered this empirical evidence: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John 1:1-3. Words like these from the gospel records should silence forever those who demand physical evidence. The Scriptures provide such evidence in great abundance. Of course, no historical event can have actual empirical evidence. We must rely on the witnesses to those events, which even the modernists are willing to do, except in the realm of religion. My friends, we thank you for listening today. May God continue to bless and keep you.